Hey, Nikki.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Doing well.
So, let's get all synchronized here.
Okay.
Am I crazy or did you go on before 05?
I did. We had the report from Michael Jacoby and we had to do that.
So we only did
2 minutes of Fox News.
We dispensed with Fox News for the last 3 minutes. Okay, cool. Now I understand.
Okay. How are you doing?
Good, except I have to clear my throat.
I'm going to be
considerate of the audience and turn off the microphone while I clear my throat.
I'll just turn up the music. There we go. Got it?
Got it.
Sweet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Now then. All right. We're going to start the Saturday special. It's going to be a little different this time. We did a sort of an honor in honor of the 20th anniversary of the purchase of KSCO on January 31st, 1991. Remember we did that a couple of weeks ago and we had some of the people that we've had on like John Sandage we're going to have a really special party today. And everybody's invited. There's nobody here now, but it doesn't bother me that nobody's here right now.
We got a few here.
For the potty?
Yeah. Cute blonde in there raised her hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, she's here for the potty, but she's here for a different reason.
You know, okay.
I mean, she'll stay over for the potty. That would be great. But this is going to be the bash of the century for KSCO. And so I want everybody who's listening to show up, okay? If you don't know where the radio station is, it's at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. And the potty won't start until 12 noon. So just be ready to show up right around then. There's going to be all kinds of toys and balloons for the kiddies. No, I don't know if we're going to have any of that. But we're going to have refreshments, and we're going to have Kay and her books. And that are going to be signed by Kay. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. And so, because we got tons of them. We got so many of them that we better sell some or we're going to be in big trouble. Anyhow, let's officially start the show, okay?
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Morning, KSCO Land. MZ is happy to welcome you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. What's special and different today is that I'm going to be interviewed. I've never been interviewed on the radio since before I owned the radio station. And I decided it's high time that I got interviewed. So I'm going to interview the lady who's going to interview me.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
About 3 weeks ago that we had this really nice gal on named Rebecca D. Costa, well on her way to becoming a best-selling author. Her book that came out in, I believe, October of last year is creating quite a hubbub, to use one of her expressions that I hadn't heard in many years, but I think it really applies. Everywhere it is presented, she's been making the rounds of talk shows, radio and TV talk shows, and magazine and newspaper interviews. The book is called Watchman's Rattle, Thinking Our Way Out of Extinction. Rebecca is a sociobiologist, and she and I have become, I would say, good friends in recent weeks. And I can't think of a better person to interview me than Rebecca Costa, because she is herself about to embark upon a new career for herself, and that is a radio career. And we're going to be involved in her radio career through the launching of her program. Not really positive of the working title of the program at this point, but we'll see. That'll unfold. So since this is we're celebrating the 20 years of local ownership and management of KSCO Radio, which is a very unusual thing here in the United States of America. It's been many, many years since most of the radio stations have been bought up by mega corporations. And this station has not. I don't think that I would have sold the station, even if an offer was made that I couldn't refuse. I don't know for sure about that, because who's to know? I mean, it didn't happen, and I think it's a good thing that it didn't happen. Those of you who listen to KSCO and are KSCO fans will recall that one time about 4 years ago, I actually announced on the air that the station was for sale, because I was pretty stressed at the time. We were having some problems, and I figured I'd had enough. But the station, no one stepped up to the plate. The station didn't sell. And I, for one, many, many listeners have told me that they were happy that it didn't sell, because it's an unusual radio station. And today, from 12 until 3 p.m., we are going to be celebrating with an open house here at KSCO that all of you are invited to. It'll be very interesting to see whether we get 50 people or 1,000 people or something greater or something less. Who knows? But we plan on having a good time. We really encourage all of you listening to come on down to the radio station come 12 noon today, which is when this program will just be finishing, and take part in our 20th anniversary celebration / Kay's book signing event. Her book for KSCO, I'm Kay Zwirling, has been published. We have quite a number of copies here to sell. Quite a number of you have purchased online already and have not picked up your copy here at the radio station. We have them for you. If they've been bought and paid for already, you can buy them at the radio station if you haven't. And if you can't come to pick up your book today that you've pre-purchased on KSCO.com, that's okay. It's not going to go anywhere. We'll have it for you whenever you do have time to come down here any weekday during regular business hours, which at KSCO is between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. weekdays. All right, I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to turn the mic over to my friend Rebecca here, and she's going to start asking questions.
Good morning, Michael.
How in the world are you?
Well, you know, it's a momentous day. 2 decades serving the community. How's it feel?
Good, good.
Does it feel like 2 decades?
No, it certainly doesn't.
I thought it didn't.
It feels like 2 minutes, really. It just went by so quickly. January 31st, 1991. It was a whole different world then, and so many things have happened since then, but it doesn't seem like that long ago. And did I think that we would make it this far? I didn't know. I mean, the first few years were pretty rough, because be careful what you wish for. Because running a radio station that has a heart and a soul and a personality, which means you have to have you have to have real people, not just canned programming that comes in on a satellite, means payrolls, and it means, you know, the necessity to, you know, have money coming into the place so that you could afford to pay for the transmitter.
But that's not what drove you. What drove you was a really early love affair with radio. And, you know, I'm so glad we're doing the program together today, because even though there are a lot of listeners that listen to you on the Saturday morning special and a lot of new listeners that come on board every week, I think people want to know about you. They've heard things, or they think they know things from the radio program. And, you know, the thing that I was the most fascinated with, was how you got into radio. And, you know, this was an early love affair, and I don't think people know about that. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about your first memory of getting hooked on radio.
Okay, yeah, that's easy. Growing up in Santa Cruz, where I was born and raised.
So you're a hometown boy.
Yeah,
I mean, this is, you knew about this station very early on.
As early as I can remember. I mean, I knew about this station. Didn't listen to this station very much because when I was growing up, it was a retirement. It was an older person's music station. You know, they had programs like Music Designed for Dining and so forth.
Lawrence Welk kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Montavani music. It wasn't a station that most young people, that any young people would be listening to.
And there wasn't any talk radio then?
Actually, there was.
Well,
when I was really young, there wasn't. So in the 50s, there really wasn't anything like talk radio. That didn't happen until maybe 62, 63. When I was, you know, 11 or 12 years old. And but I remember listening to the radio before then, in the 50s, and listening to rock and roll music, which is what most younger people did. And our parents didn't like that. They said, how can you listen to that trash? It's not that noise. It's not real music, like our music.
Well, that was so tame in those days, too.
Yeah, and so we would listen. I and my friends would listen to KMBY, which is now KNRY, AM 1240, out of Monterey. Let's see, which was the only top 40, you know, young person's music radio formatted station in the area. There was another station called KDON, AM 1460, and then, of course, there was this station. And there might have been two or three other radio stations, but those are the stations that I remember.
Really weren't very many choices.
There weren't a whole lot of choices back then in the early 60s, playing what we now consider oldies music, music of the late 50s and 60s and so forth. Two stations in Santa Cruz County, were the only two stations were KSCO AM 1080, this station, and KDON AM 1460, which was technically a Salinas station, but it had its transmission tower site over near Watsonville at Palm Beach, where Pajaro Dunes is now located. Mm-hmm. And both of these stations had enormously strong signals. I mean, it just burned into the radio sets, no matter where you were in the Monterey Bay Area. I always thought KSCO was sort of a waste as a kid because it had this strong signal, but it was playing this crappy music that I wasn't interested in. But by the time I got to high school, I was very excited because I always wanted to be a DJ when I grew up.
So that's my real question.
Yeah.
What made you decide you wanted to be a DJ? Did you hear one or see one?
Yeah, you hear people with big voices getting paid money. I didn't know how much money, but getting paid. Wow! You know, this is wild. Oh, okay. hey, Nikki. Aaron is at the front door. He needs power in the garage, I think, you know, to set up for the refreshments and stuff. So, yeah, I wanted to be a DJ.
Because you thought it would be fun to be on the radio and be paid. Seemed like a good gig.
Exactly. Have fun getting paid for playing records.
Mm-hmm. And thought, wow, that's a career I could get into.
And when my father, who was an optometrist, heard me say that, there's nothing I want more than to be a DJ on the radio, he said, DJ? What's that? And I said, well, that stands for disc jockey. He said, a disc jockey?
Mm-hmm. Was he thinking medical school?
You want to be a
law school?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
You want to be a disc, or certainly optometry school. He was an optometrist. He had a great practice in downtown Santa Cruz.
And maybe he was hoping that you'd to take it over
not
someday.
Maybe. That was what he wanted, more than I wanted, probably more than I wanted to be a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually ridiculed. He said, why don't you set your sights higher than being a DJ? I said, what could be better than getting paid for having fun? And he said, don't you want to be able to make a living? How did he know? How did he know when he was an optometrist, having nothing to do with radio, or showbiz, mm-hmm. that something that people do for love, not so much for money, is something that it could make it sort of difficult in life for them to, you know, even own a home someday. How did he know that back then? He tried to impress me. He said, you should set your sights higher than being a disc jockey. Now, to me, being a disc jockey was the greatest thing in the world.
Well, there certainly are some people that are just driven by love.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course,
I wanted to be a good one.
And of course.
If you're at the top of the field in anything, you know.
You do make money.
You do.
That top 1% of any field. It doesn't matter what it is.
Is that 1% of everything? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think there are some businesses that even if you're in the bottom 1%, you do pretty well. But anyhow.
So what was your first experience on the air?
Santa Cruz High School on the air. Because this station, KSCO, was run by a gentleman named Mr. Vernon Berlin, who made time available back then in the mid-60s to the then two Santa Cruz County area high schools, Santa Cruz High and Soquel High. He donated a half hour of time on Tuesday night, 7:30 to 8:00.
So you grabbed that opportunity.
Yeah, I grabbed the.
And what kind of a program did you start with?
It was just a program where we did school news. That we had a format. I mean, it was actually, you would have appreciated it because it was very structured.
I am sort of structured, aren't I?
Unlike most of what you hear on KSCO is not particularly structured, but that's not true. We have a very highly structured program clock for Good Morning Monterey Bay. No structure at all for the Saturday special. That's just my style. But we did have a structure for Santa Cruz High School in here. We did school news. We did school sports. We played a record in the middle. It was the only time you've ever heard a rock and roll record on KSCO back then.
And was that program successful?
In terms of what?
In terms of, did you stay on the air?
Well, I wasn't the only person. There were other people at Santa Cruz High who we sort of alternated the hosting. I would host one week and then someone else, and then I would be back and so forth.
But what is this I heard about you got thrown off the air?
Was that
in high school?
Yeah, January 4th, 1967.
You didn't think this was going to be an easy interview, did you?
No, people have heard this many times before. On January 4th, 1967, I thought that we had done the best Santa Cruz High on the air that we had ever done. I and the staff of maybe half a dozen other people from Santa Cruz High back then. And I was like a sophomore, I think. And
you were proud.
Yeah. Very proud. And Mr. Berlin comes in and says, Zwirling, you're through. I was shocked and horrified because he was serious. He wasn't kidding around. He was a very serious guy. He didn't make jokes or anything.
So there was no warning and you were thrown off the air because?
Because you don't make a fart noise on KSCO. I had made a Bronx cheer. No, in fact, I have the recording. I don't have it ready now, so we can't play it. But I don't think we've ever played that on the air here, but I have that recording from 1967.
Can we do that on another program?
Another program, yeah. But basically, I had read a letter that had a Bronx cheer sound, so I made this sound and didn't give it a thought. I mean, just sort of a raspberry.
And they picked it up, and he said,
Mr.
you're
Berlin,
done.
He said, you don't offend our listeners that way. That's not permitted. And
but that wasn't the only time you were thrown off the air.
Correct.
Wait
a minute. That first time I was thrown off the air, I vowed I'd own the place someday.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
And when was that again?
That was January 4th, 1967.
So in 1967 you said, I'm going to own that station so they can't throw me off the air again.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it wasn't until January 31st, 1991. So that was like, what is that, 24 years later?
So you're a tenacious little bugger.
67, 77, 87. 80, yeah, 24 years and about 2 weeks.
That might be my new definition of tenacity.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, in the ensuing years, in the 80s, The place had sold. The radio station was put up for sale by Mr. Berlin and his partners who owned the Santa Cruz Sentinel daily newspaper. because no one in any of their families wanted to take over the station, take mm-hmm. over the management or operation of the radio station.
So I mean, in fact, he sold it in 1986 to the
Correct.
Fuller Jeffrey Broadcasting
That's exactly
company.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was for $3.5 million. And so I figured, hey, when the price went for, even before it was sold, you know, I never dreamed the place would go for that much money, but someone came along from an out-of-area location, very fine broadcasters, Bob Fuller and J.J. Jeffrey, and they saw this as a diamond in the rough. They were experts at buying underperforming broadcast properties and turning them around and either operating them for a long time and making them cash flow or selling them for way more than they paid. And
how'd they do?
With this station,
mm-hmm.
it was a disaster.
Oh.
It was horrible.
They weren't able to turn it
no,
around.
Because
do you think it was because they were outsiders?
Yes, that's exactly why. Because Santa Cruz is a fiercely, in some ways, provincial and very... They don't appreciate outsiders at all. I mean, they just don't. If you're not a local here, I mean, even though the place has been taken over by outsiders, it's a whole different Santa Cruz right now. But there's something about this place where business practices that work well for companies elsewhere, if when applied here, they have the reverse effect.
It's a bit of a relationship-driven town.
The first thing that Fuller Jeffrey did when they arrived and took over KSCO was get rid of Morning Chimes. Morning Chimes was a 10-minute devotional, almost a prayer type thing that was put on by Twin Lakes Baptist Church back then. Now they call it TLC, Twin Lakes Church, and They took the Baptist out of it, and it's non-denominational. I like to go there. It's an amazing place. It's just a world-class, makes-you-feel-good type place. But back then, it was just about every business person was a member of Twin Lakes Baptist Church. And the first thing Bob Fuller and J.J. Jeffrey did, or their management, their general manager, says, we're going to get rid of this, and...
Why did they take it off the air?
I don't know why they did, but it was. But boy, that set them off on the wrong foot, and they never recovered. and about four years later, their bank, which was the Bank of Boston, that funded all of their station purchases, and all of them had been very successful up until KSCO. The story I got was that they were ordered to sell their only unprofitable properties. And that was the Santa Cruz AM, KSCO, and the Santa Cruz FM. There was a KSCO FM back then,
mm-hmm.
FM 99.1. And I had heard that in operating the station for 4.5 years, both stations, they had lost somewhere around, you know, $2.5-3 million, and just weren't able to bring in much advertising at all. And I think a large reason for that was getting off on the wrong foot and alienating most of the business community that happened to be members of Twin Lakes Baptist Church back then. And it's gone on to become a much larger organization than it was even then. And I don't mean to say that, you know, I should say that it seemed that many of the advertisers on KSCO back then were members of the Twin Lakes Baptist Church, and that was and when the church was dissed, that was the end of all those advertisers.
Mm-hmm. So at some point you heard about this and you started getting the idea that you might like to come back in and own the station because these
yeah.
folks were pulling out.
Well, the people, the J.J. Jeffrey, who was the Jeffrey of Fuller Jeffrey Broadcasting, is sort of a character like myself. He's a total in love with radio person. He was a top 40 disc jockey in WLS Chicago, WRKO Boston, big stations. Got paid big bucks in the 70s, and wisely got together with a business oriented radio guy named Bob Fuller, and together they started buying stations, and they made a great team because JJ was a wonderful tweak the on-air sound sort of guy, the formatics guy. And Bob Fuller was the business guy, you know, who made the deals and figured out how to apply to the FCC for power changes and frequency swaps and things to just do. They're just great, great.
But even with that partnership, they weren't successful in Santa Cruz.
Not in Santa Cruz.
They couldn't make that work.
Every place else. I don't think they were unsuccessful anywhere else but Santa Cruz, because Santa Cruz is a different sort of place.
So at some point, you got word about the fact that the station was for sale.
I got to be friends with JJ Jeffrey because he used to hang his hat here. They had about 20 stations in different parts of the country, but JJ loved Santa Cruz because it's such a quirky place, sort of like he is. And those of you, there are still people who are employed at KSCO today who will tell you that JJ is just the coolest, nicest guy to this day. He lives back in Portland, Maine. I'd love to get him on the radio with us here sometime pretty soon. But
how did you become friends?
Because we're both radio guys. I used to come down and hang out here, and I was delighted to see the guy whose name is on the glass is just one of the boys who is equally at home, you know, talking with a board operator here and going and having drinks at the local watering hole after work, as he is talking to Sumner Redstone of Viacom, who ended up buying KSCO FM, which is what made it possible for me to buy KSCO FM AM later on. Anyhow.
And so did you approach him and say, I'm in love with the station, and I'm a local guy. I've lived here all my life. I can make this work.
Before that happened, I had become I had hit JJ with a idea that KSCO, which was for the 4.5 years that they were running it, it had been a music station, both their AM and their FM, okay. And sometimes it simulcast, and sometimes it didn't. They went through format changes like people change their underwear. It was, you know, it wasn't.
And that's kind of deadly in radio, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. And so yeah. I don't think it was the Fuller Jeffrey people. It was the management, the manager that they put in charge here. And I guess it was the Fuller Jeffrey people, because if they put in a bad manager who ran the place into the ground, I don't know, whatever. JJ was here. I got to know him. We got to be good friends. I said, you know, you really need to have a talk show here on this station for at least a couple hours a week or something. And I've got just the guy to do it for you.
And that was?
My high school government teacher, Mr. Listener. Mr. Listener, yeah. And he may be a listener right now.
Oh, I hope he is. I hope he'll call in.
Yeah. Bob calls in every once in a while. And we were in a group together back then called Citizens for Planning Reform. There were a lot, and there continues to be, by the way, here 25 years later, or 22 years later, 23 years later, a great dissatisfaction on the part of the local community here with the planning process in both Santa Cruz City and Santa Cruz County jurisdictions. Back in 1979, I built a house in West Santa Cruz on a regular city lot that had been created probably 60 years earlier. It's not as if I was doing a subdivision or something. And I was treated, Rebecca, as if I was proposing to develop all of the open space, you know, on the coast between Santa Cruz and San Francisco for just one little 72 by 100.
I think it might have had something to do with that proposal to store nuclear waste on your site.
No, there was nothing like that. It was
okay.
And what happened is it really changed my politics pretty. I became pretty conservative when I saw what hoops I had to jump through. And this is back in 1979.
It's what I call a situational conservative. The situation warranted it because you couldn't build what you wanted to build and you felt you had legal rights,
yeah,
owning the property, right? But you're not conservative about all things. I know that because I've really gotten to know you.
Okay, well, it really got me particularly interested in politics. And by the way, the Mr. Listener is credited with my interest in politics, because the first day in high school government class in September of 1967, he passed out paper to everybody and said, "I want you to write down what you hope to get out of this class." And I wrote down absolutely nothing. The only reason I'm here is because I have to be. It's a requirement for graduation. I have absolutely no interest in government or politics or anything like that. And I got to tell you that this teacher, he was such an amazing teacher who exposed us to all points of view and made it fun and exciting, you know, to go to class. I couldn't wait to get to high school government class. It wasn't much longer after that that he really hooked me. And hooked us all. And what an amazing teacher. And so that got me interested in politics. And of course, later on, my mother, she never stops. I mean, that's all she lives for is politics.
So this First Talk radio program that you had suggested,
mm-hmm, about reforming the planning department,
was
I brought Mr. Listener to J.J. Jeffrey at World Headquarters, which was a watering hole down the street.
Yeah.
And I said, J.J., this is Bob. And he'd be a great talk show host to talk about the planning department. And after Bob left, I said, "What did you think of Bob, JJ?" And he said, "I think he'd be a great host, but only on one condition." I said, "What's that?" He says, "That you be the real host and he be the co-host, because you're a radio guy and he's a civilian."
Oh.
Okay. So I said, "Oh, well, I wasn't thinking of, but sure, why not? I've always wanted to be a talk show host. I honestly wasn't angling to get myself in as the talk," but that's what he said.
But he knew that you loved radio, yeah, and you understood radio.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I had been doing some real estate. I was in the real estate business back then. I had a real estate brokerage, and I advertised on KSCO.
Mm-hmm.
I was Michael Zwirling Real Estate Investment sponsored the 7 o'clock local news with Dick Little, and it was great. You know, and people thought my agency was much bigger than it really was, because I was the only one advertising on the radio station in real estate. It seemed to me to be a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But and I did my own ads. I recorded them here, and they no one does their own ads. This guy really knows radio. You know, so
the first focus of the first talk show that you had proposed was really on planning reform in Santa Cruz.
Exactly.
So you were dealing with local issues. You wanted, right, to focus on local reform, local issues.
Yeah, and that's all we talked about. We didn't have guests on other.
But
subjects.
At some
and,
point,
and it was not a talk radio station. It was a music station where they broke formats for 2 hours. On Monday night.
Sure, they were going to try it out and see if they could get more involved in the community, get more community interest. The radio station wasn't doing well.
And what they did instead is got more aggravation for the management, which was for the ownership, which was parked in a skyscraper in Sacramento.
I see.
And this was the second time I got kicked out of KSCO.
You got kicked out because?
Because the government here, the Citizens for Planning Reform talk show wasn't generating any money for the radio station. JJ, who liked me, just thought that I had a pretty cool idea about doing a talk show that would be a controversial talk show, which it certainly was.
I can imagine.
Yeah. But it didn't lead to anything but aggravation for the home office. And finally,
and no revenue,
right? And so we got some revenue, because we got a pretty nice, you know, our group CPR that my father named. What should we name this group? And my father said Citizens for Planning Reform, because the initials are CPR. You know, so because it needs CPR, the planning process. So, yeah, he was pretty brilliant. And my sister was involved, because she had just gone through a horrendous, horrendous planning process where it was like the neighbors and the city had everything to say about the design of her property, but she had nothing to say about it. And it was just I wish I had a better vocabulary than to use the word horrendous.
Well, You know, in the program today, we're going to be talking about the past, the present, and the future of KSCO. So let's move it along to, at what point did you buy the station and decide you're going to put it under new management?
I would love to do that, but I want to be here to be able to do that. And if I don't do a break here, because Nikki's been gesturing to me through the window that it's been break time for the last 20 minutes, I will be murdered.
I think we should go to break.
I think so.
Hi, this is Mike Jacoby, host of Raising the Standards. Saturdays right here on KSCO. I'm also the executive producer of Jazz on the Plaza in Los Gatos, and if that weren't enough, I'm also the guy who's in the middle of one of the most unique radio commercials that you'll ever hear. It's for the good people at Lexus of Stevens Creek in San Jose. Now, I'm not going to talk about sale prices or test drives, free hot dogs, or even cotton candy. Nope, I'm here to tell you about how they give back to the community. And the answer is a lot. Now, there's no shortage of businesses that, when it comes to giving back, are good at talking the talk. However, at Lexus of Stevens Creek, they actually walk the walk. I know, because they've been there for me and for jazz education, just as they've been there for countless nonprofit groups throughout the Bay Area. Find out more at LexusOfStevensCreek.com. Lexus of Stevens Creek. Good folks. Great cars.
Lexus of Stevens Creek, 3333 Stevens Creek Boulevard, San Jose. Call 888-497-1284. If you work the land, Webb's Farm Supplies in Soquel and Husqvarna Power Tools can make your work easy. Whether you need professional-grade power for landscape and trees or consumer-grade power for home and garden, Webb's Farm Supplies has world-leading Husqvarna Power Tools, saws, trimmers, cutters, mowers, and parts for anything and everything new or obsolete. At 5381 Old San Jose Road for over 65 years, it's Webb's Farm Supplies and Husqvarna. Visit webbs-farmsupplies.com or call 475-1020, 475-1020. Here's how to make your Valentine's Day extra special. Take your loved one out to dinner at the famed Casablanca restaurant on Beach Street in Santa Cruz. In addition to views of the sparkling waters of Monterey Bay, your loved one will enjoy selections from Casablanca's award-winning wine list, full bar, and entrees from its three-course prefix menu.
Grilled filet mignon with forest mushroom demi-glaze. Grilled New York steak with bourbon peppercorn demi-glaze. Artichoke mascarpone raviolis with brown butter and sage. And don't forget to save room for Casablanca's famous chocolate walnut pie.
Take your loved one out to eat at the famed Casablanca restaurant. Your Valentine won't forget this special dinner. Call now for reservations, 426-9063, 426-9063. That's the Casablanca restaurant, 426-9063.
Gift certificates now available for Casablanca Inn and Restaurant.
Winter is the time to make certain your home is safe and ready for the long, dark nights. Hi, I'm Charlie Friedman.
And I'm Tino from JM Electric. Charlie's right. Get a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric. Listen.
My name is Lane LeCompte, and I live in Soquel. My home is about 45 years old. There were a lot of things I was wondering how my home was still standing, and I want to make sure that my home is safe. Oh, they came out. They were wonderful. They really took care of everything, of all of the items we had. Yes, I sleep very well after the work that they did.
Don't wait until you blow a circuit. Call for a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric today.
I'll personally come out and walk through your home to see if I can spot any trouble before it happens. I'm Tino at JM Electric. 422-7819. That's 422-7819. Or jmelectric.com and tell them Charlie sent you.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and we have some sweet specials for that someone special. From Mexico and California, 1 pound clamshell strawberries, $2.99 each. These sweet berries are great for your Valentine's Day breakfast, lunch, or dinner. If you're cooking Valentine's dinner, we have head lettuce, 88 cents each, Red bell peppers, 99 cents a pound. And broccoli crowns, $1.27 a pound. And for your table centerpiece, large sweet pineapple, $2.98 each. For that organic Valentine's Day special person, we have organic one-pound clamshell strawberries and dry pint blueberries, both $3.99 each. We also have beautiful organic pink lady apples, $1.19 a pound. Fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Market. Happy Valentine's Day.
That's a cue. That means talk. You're the host here.
Well, I'm Rebecca Costa, the author of The Watchman's Rattle, and this morning on the Saturday special, I am interviewing the man behind the voice, Michael Zwirling, station owner, entrepreneur, real estate developer. What else should I call you?
Developer?
Keep it clean.
That's sort of a bad word around these parts, real
keep
estate
it,
developer.
Keep it clean. Humanitarian. I should say that you're quite a humanitarian.
Thank you. And
also local, homegrown personality.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Santa Cruz County. And have owned and operated KSCO for 2 decades. Congratulations, Michael. That's a momentous occasion.
Thank you. And all I hope is that our potty, which starts in an hour and 13 minutes, is a big success. And everybody is invited to the potty.
Okay, you know, you're just not selling it.
Okay, you sell it.
I'm just saying, you know,
go ahead,
you've got you really have a big event planned here. And somehow we're being really quiet about it.
Okay, go ahead.
There's free food. There's entertainment. There are the radio personalities will be here. Your mother is signing her book for the first time. Kay Zwirling will be here with books available. This is large.
Oh,
this
I
is
know
a large event.
I know it's a large event, but what happens if it's...
I think if people don't get here at noon, they're going to be disappointed because I think food and everything is just going to go flying out.
And it's really, really good food by Smokes Barbecue.
I know. It's
oh
my favorite.
Oh, my God.
It's my favorite. And you know what? We're right here.
Is your radio wet, folks? My microphone is I've been drooling all over the
microphone. Could we please keep
it
clean?
Yeah.
You promised if I came on the show this morning, you'd keep it clean. You know, it's a big event, and it should be an event because how many independently owned stations that serve the community have been operational for 2 decades? I can't name another one, I have to tell you.
Neither can I.
And so this is huge for this community. It's huge for your listeners and for anyone who really cares about radio and homegrown radio, by the way, you know, which really leads me to the second part of this interview. We called this interview Back to the Future, the Past, Present, and Future of KSCO. And it's a little bit of a different format because, as you pointed out, you haven't been interviewed for 21 years. And I find that a lot of times you go around as though people already know the history of KSCO and how you came to own the station and your love affair with radio that's been going on since you were a young boy. So I'd like to ask you something. You know, a lot of people are saying that radio is kind of a dead medium or a dying medium. And I know you have some strong feelings about that. So I'd like to...
Who has said that?
Oh, the newspapers. They said as soon as satellite radio took over that it was the end of local stations. And I actually think it's going to move in the other direction.
I didn't know that, but now that you're putting my face in that, I haven't read a newspaper in a long time, and I think many people don't read newspapers, and I think newspapers are all but dead now, or maybe they are dead. I mean, I don't know anybody who reads a newspaper.
I do.
I guess I know one person. Who reads a newspaper.
I read more than one newspaper. I read.
Well, that's great. Okay, well, that explains why you're so... Well, read.
No, I feel like it's very hard to get a balanced view if you don't get opinions and
news from multiple mediums.
Well, no. And I agree with that. But I don't think people have time to, and they don't, most people don't want to spend the money. I mean, you can buy the fastest internet connection for way less than it and save a whole bunch of trees and be exposed to all kinds of opinions on the internet.
That's
you know,
very
you,
true.
You don't need to subscribe to magazines or newspapers. I don't understand how magazines survive, except maybe for their online editions. I certainly don't understand how newspapers survive.
So where do you think radio's going? I mean, let's talk about that for a moment.
Radio will be here for many decades to come, but only if the radio serves their communities. Okay? And I'm not so sure that it will be necessary to have over-the-air transmitted AM or FM radio as we know it for many more years. I mean, I
you think it's going to be transmitted over the internet?
Yeah.
There'll be local stations that you can listen to on the internet.
As soon as WiMAX and other maybe yet-to-be-deployed technologies are deployed so that you can receive a faithful connection, faithful internet connection in a moving vehicle in a way that you theoretically but not completely can receive a cell telephone transmission in a moving vehicle, you know, where you get out of range of one, it hands you off to the next cell.
Isn't that what satellite radio is?
Do
you feel like local radio stations are going to eventually feed up through satellite and get down to local territories?
No, I don't think that's going to happen because I think the satellite companies, I think satellite is way, way too expensive.
Mm-hmm. And the price won't come down to enable that?
No way. I mean, you know, it's so expensive that the only two satellite radio companies had to merge a few years back, XM and Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to gall the hell out of me to be forced to carry XM and Sirius satellite radio commercials on this station baked into the national programs like Rush that we carry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we didn't get paid any money for that. It was a contractual requirement that we broadcast what they feed us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they leave their little slots for us to sell local ads to the local advertisers, which is sort of a neat idea. But and that's the way most talk radio stations are. They're fully programmed with syndicated radio programs that have the network spots that everybody is forced to take but not really receive any money from. And so to be forced to carry spots that advertise for satellite radio, which is definitely, you know, my main competitor here, was very upsetting. And that's one of the reasons why I cut back on syndicated programs. The only syndicated programs we have now are Rush Limbaugh and Coast to Coast AM. Mm-hmm. And I think we do America in the Morning from Westwood One at 5 in the morning.
And, but, you know, you took a lot of heat for syndicating Rush on this program. I know that not only did you syndicate, I think in 2006 you received some envelope containing white powder. And
I don't know if that was because we carried Rush. I don't know what that was all about.
What was that about?
Someone decided to, presumably didn't like us, and we don't know who and we don't know why. We have an idea who, but we don't know for sure, sent us some white powder. That was one of the. If I ever write the KSCO book or screenplay, or someone writes a screenplay, this would be a main chapter of it.
That was during the sort of anthrax scare that everybody was having, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the poor staff that was here, they had to take hazmat showers and they had to leave the building. And I was informed. I was just coming back from a trip, you know, from Hawaii, and I landed in the Bay Area, and I decided to go to my home in the Bay Area. And it's a lucky thing, because all this thing, this white powder thing happened that same day, and if I would have come back here, we would have been forced to have gone off the air, because we were ordered off the air by the hazmat people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the telephone talking to the staff from up there, and they said, he said, we have to leave now, boss. Do we have to go take showers? We have to take cold showers in the parking lot.
Wow.
And we have to leave the building. I said, wait a minute. They can't order you to go off the air.
And was that the first time that you felt as though there was any danger associated with allowing people with aggressive opinions on the air? Was it the first time you felt any kind of, you know, worry about the effect that this could have and security at the station?
Yeah, probably.
Because you've always looked at radio in sort of a romantic view.
Uh-huh.
And you don't strike me as the kind of person that wants to edit or censor anybody's opinion. In fact, you've told me that opinions that sicken you, you invite to have on the station because you really feel that you want to create a platform for all views to be able to make themselves known. And so you're a big proponent of, you know, a wide range of opinions and viewpoints. But you have sort of a romantic view of what the radio can do. And I have to believe that when you got this envelope and were threatened, it had to have changed a little bit. Did it change at all for you?
No. And that would be a great question to ask Rosie or Michael or the people who were here that day, because I wasn't. You know.
So do you think that your opinion wasn't changed because you weren't here experiencing it?
No. I don't think it would have changed if I had been here.
You just thought it was a nutbag, and you don't want to service a nutbag.
We want to service everybody, even nutbags, because nutbags are part of the community, and nutbags have rights too.
We're going to quote you on that. Nutbags
have
rights too.
They have rights to be serviced. Actually, the only people who don't have rights, I think, are people like drunk drivers. You know, I saw a local columnist say drunk drivers have rights too. You know,
you're kidding.
You know, someone wrote that a few years ago. Yeah, and
what rights do they have? Hopefully, the right not to drive a car.
This was a person. This was a person who had said something like that, and he was amazed at how much venom he received. This is probably 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the local papers, one of the local weeklies, I think. I'm not going to even mention the guy's name. I have little regard for the guy.
But you have been a proponent of people having the right for free speech, and including Rush Limbaugh. And you took a lot of heat for having Limbaugh on your program.
Well, I think Limbaugh is an amazing broadcaster, and the proof is in the pudding. I mean, it's a business decision. Anybody who's in the commercial talk radio business, regardless of his or her personal politics, is an idiot not to have Rush Limbaugh on an exclusive basis on their radio station if they have a chance to. Because they're guaranteed to have thousands of people listening if there are thousands of people within the range of the transmitter.
But when you bought the station in 1991 and you took control of the same place that had kicked you off the air several times, which I find to be just an incredible story, I don't think you were thinking this is a conservative station
it's a
liberal station.
Not a bit. But we were branded as a conservative station immediately from
day
one.
Okay, why did that happen? Why did you get branded like that?
Because Rush Limbaugh is so powerfully conservative, and this is such a powerfully liberal city of license. I'm talking about Santa Cruz. Now, we get out, our signal gets out way beyond the city limits of Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm. So you think any station that broadcasts Rush is going to get that label?
In a place like Santa Cruz or a place like Pacific Grove or a place like Berkeley, hell yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And yet you tell me that you balance the programming out with a lot of liberal shows as well.
Yeah, well, we've started doing that. And I didn't really get this. It took me about 18 years to get up to speed on this. I always said, why do you call us a conservative station? We invite everybody. We invite liberals to call, too, and everybody in between. That's not the same thing as having a liberal host. We didn't really have many liberal hosts over the years. We had some. But now we've in the last couple of years we've installed the 2 to 4 weekday slot midday, which is pretty prime time radio, and we call that the What's Left segment. And one of our listeners came up with that idea on a station contest. And I guess we got to continue after Fox News. This is KSEO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. For Egyptians, it's the day after, with organizers of the 2.5 weeks of demonstrations saying they'll end their protest activities in Tahrir Square now that Hosni Mubarak is the country's ex-president. But they'll be calling for weekly demonstrations after Friday prayers to keep those now in power aware of their presence. And they've listed their demands beyond Mubarak's ouster for the first time, which include the lifting of emergency laws, the dissolution of parliament, and the creation of a committee to amend or rewrite the Egyptian constitution. As for the military council that's taken power temporarily, it says, an announcement most welcomed in Israel.
Egypt's higher council of the armed forces, now in charge here, issued a statement saying they will abide by all international agreements. It's a clear signal to Israel that the peace treaty between Israel and Egypt will be upheld. Meanwhile, some former ministries who served under President Hosni Mubarak are banned from leaving the country. Accusations against the former prime minister, interior minister, and information minister are being investigated, according to state television. Army sources also saying Egypt's information minister is under house arrest. In Cairo, Courtney Keeley, Fox News Radio.
On Capitol Hill, the battle of the budget shaping up, with House Republicans poised to unveil $100 billion in cuts in the fiscal 2011 spending plan. That budget year already nearly half over. President Obama, in his weekend multimedia speech, saying his plan freezes spending at current levels for the next 5 years, and that he's also tackling political pork.
I'm going to make sure politics doesn't add to our deficit by vetoing any bill that contains earmarks.
Utah Senator Orrin Hatch gave the Republican rebuttal.
If the president's new budget simply freezes his last budget, he'll stifle job growth by continuing to spend too much, tax too much, and borrow too much.
Those House Republicans intend to unveil their roster of cuts this coming week. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto when you want it and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want, at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
The Conservative Political Action Conference in D.C. revving up the faithful with its annual parade of GOP and now Tea Party favorites. This year's gathering with the added attraction of auditioning prospective 2012 presidential candidates.
It's a sneak peek at the upcoming campaign trail.
I'm glad to see the revolution is continuing.
Ron Paul firing up thousands at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, also making possible presidential pitches.
It is going to take a lot more than new rhetoric to put Americans back to work. It's going to take a new president.
Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty also spoke. So did Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Senator John Thune, and media mogul Donald Trump. The conference ends this evening with a straw poll of possible White House hopefuls. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
The results of that straw poll should be in a little over 3 hours. In San Diego's Gas Lamp District, a traffic accident that injured more than two dozen people.
A 52-year-old male was driving an Emerald cab southbound on 6th Avenue. He says that he passed out briefly, and he drove up onto the sidewalk and drove into a crowd of pedestrians.
San Diego Police Sergeant Ray Batrick, who says alcohol wasn't a factor in the 2 a.m. incident. One of the pedestrians lost a leg. It's awards season, and not just in the motion picture business. Tomorrow evening, it's the Grammys.
Guess I don't know my own strength. Just
gonna... Eminem leads with 10 nominations, including Song and Record of the Year for Love the Way You Lie, and Album of the Year for Recovery. Close behind the rapper, Bruno Mars, who's landed 7 nominations.
I catch a grenade.
Jay-Z, Lady Antebellum, and Lady Gaga have 6 nods. B.O.B. and John Legend are among the artists who will head into the Grammys with 5 nominations. Along with handing out awards, several performances are also planned.
Fox News Radio's Sabrina Sabat. And I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast. Sunny skies today, high of 69. We got light winds. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, low of 39 and light winds. Sunday, sunny skies, high of 65 with southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds will be 10 knots, becoming west this afternoon. The wind waves will be... Becoming west this afternoon, and the wind waves will be less than 2 feet with a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 12 seconds. Tonight, west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 14 seconds. And out there on Sunday, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, nothing major to report at this time. If you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, and I'll report it. As far as current temperatures go, we've got Salinas at 57, it's 55 in Watsonville, and in Monterey it's 60 degrees. We're at 68 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios. The official time, 11:06 and 34 seconds on this Saturday, February 12th. Up next, the second hour, Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, we got hour number two coming up, and I don't know. If you want to call, I guess you can, but Rebecca's doing a great job of interviewing moi.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Kudos to Doris Sandin for providing some much-needed chuckle time. These may have been around for a while, but they are still delightful. A paraprosdokian, or maybe it's paraprosdokian, from the Greek meaning beyond expectation, is a figure of speech in which the latter part of a sentence or phrase is unexpected in a way that causes the reader or listener to refrain or reinterpret the first part. Here are a few good ones. Do not argue with an idiot. He will drag you down to his level and beat you with experience. The last thing I want to do is hurt you, but it's still on my list. Light travels faster than sound. That's why some people appear bright until you hear them speak. If I agreed with you, we would both be wrong. We never really grow up. We only learn how to act in public. War does not determine who is right, only who is left. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Evening news is where they begin with good evening and then proceed to tell you why it is not. To steal ideas from one person is plagiarism. To steal from many is research. I didn't say it was your fault. I said I was blaming you. Women will never be equal to men until they can walk down the street with a bald head and a beer gut and still think that they are sexy. Behind every successful man is his woman. Behind the fall of a successful man is usually another woman. A clear conscience is the sign of a fuzzy memory. Money cannot bring happiness, but it sure makes misery easier to live with. I used to be indecisive. Now I'm not sure. You are never too old to learn something stupid. Nostalgia is not what it used to be. Change is inevitable, except from a vending machine. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. A diplomat is someone who tells you to go to hell in such a way that you look forward to the trip. And finally, hospitality is making your guests feel at home, even when you wish they were. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Well, that one isn't in the book, but a lot of others are. That's too fresh, I guess, but maybe that'll be for the next book. You're listening to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. I'm MZ, and it's been a delight to have been interviewed for the first time ever on KSCO.
I think the first time in 21 years.
Yeah. I was interviewed on another radio station a year before I bought the station here. We were talking about real estate or something back then. But before we get into the meat of hour number two, I want to stress the impotence of people coming to attend today, an hour from now. It's actually going to start in less than an hour from now. I want the whole town to be here to help us celebrate. I want the whole county to be here. I want the whole tri-county area. If you're in Monterey County, if you're in San Benito County, it's less than an hour drive.
And the address
drive,
is?
2300 Portola Drive.
Santa you know, Cruz. I have to say, 2 decades serving the community, everybody should be turning out.
Yeah, so we want to make this just a really big bash. And
there's free food, free beverages,
and
entertainment,
and it's delicious
tour of the
free
studio.
Food. There really
a
is.
A chance to meet you.
And you.
Kay Swirling.
Billy Graff.
That's right.
Nikki mm-hmm. with the sexy voice that everyone wants to meet.
Every man's dream.
Yeah. And she'll be here. You'll still be here, right, Nikki? You're not going home before the potty is over, are you?
I will be here for the first hour.
Okay, if that isn't a draw, I don't know what is.
All right, you better come for the first hour, or you're not going to be able to meet Nikki. Kay will be here for all 3 hours, signing copies of her book that have been pre-purchased or purchased here. And you, Billy.
You have been a broadcaster long enough to know if there's free food involved, broadcasters will show up and stay until there's no more food.
Okay, so we like that.
So you better show up early.
But you know what? I wanna invite listeners. This morning we've had a really good interview for the first hour, but I wanna invite your listeners to call in with questions they have for you as a station owner and somebody who's been in radio for several decades. They probably have some memories of a controversial show that you did or something that really perked their interest and made them start listening on Saturday morning. And I'd like to invite them to call in at 479-1080. That's 479-1080. And
you did that like a seasoned veteran.
Well, I'm not. But I aspire to be one day.
Future senior seasoned veteran. Yeah. Really is one already, I think. But we have 2 callers already. You want to go? Did you want to ask a question? You want to go to the call?
Let's take a call.
Okay. Let's see. Here, the first caller's name is John in Salinas.
Hello,
here.
John in Salinas.
Okay, we'll put John in Salinas on here. Hi,
MZ.
Hey. And
hey. Two quick favor. If you could please put the Saturday special when Rebecca was first on about 3 weeks ago. If you could put on the archive, I'd really appreciate it. That was a great show.
Yeah, thank you. I will. I've gotten
thank
real lazy.
You, John.
We got to come up with an automated way to do this because I've been so busy with other business interests and, you know, getting ready for Kay's book and this and that I've been sort of sloppy about that.
John, are you going to be able to come down to the party?
I'm at work right now. I would love to. I've always wanted to meet like the KSCO family over there, and I've been listening to them about 18 years or so. So,
well, put your boss on the phone. We'll talk to him.
Can't do that. but I would also, as far as MZ and you interviewing him, the whole Alex Jones phenomenon. Alex Jones. You know, personally, I don't think the man has a scintilla of credibility. I know the KSCO family and Michael Swirling. It's kind of like when you hear. I don't mean this in a confrontational way, but like when you hear people say, well, I didn't leave the Democratic Party left me, or I didn't leave the Republican Party. It's kind of like with KSCO, I kind of feel that drift. It's like people who I've grown to admire their intellect and their positions and who they are as a person. You feel like you know them because you listen to them for so long.
So did you hear Kay's recent commentary about how important it is? Did Kay lose points with you because of that?
Kay lost huge points. And, I dig on Kay's, majority of her Kay's commentaries, I like them all. She did lose points. She lost, and I don't even want to go there. I don't want to spin anything negative. But, yes, she lost points. And I cannot abide, I cannot stomach Alex Jones. He rants and raves like a lunatic. And he makes these huge illogical leaps. And how everyone, and I know you endorse him and Kay endorses him and Corey and all these other great people. Even Ben Fuchs, wow. It just blows me away. And I really admire you guys, and I respect you for your intellect.
But we all lost points with you a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think raging and making these broad-based statements is really helpful to civilization at this time. I really don't. And I don't care if it's coming from the left or right. Anything divisive at this point in time is harmful. And I really do. I agree with you. I take issue when people take extreme positions like this.
It's not the divisiveness of it. It's the credibility of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it's
good and
proper to be divisive if it's for a just cause. But when you make these huge, and like credibility is everything. It's everything. If you get caught stretching the truth or, having some crazy inference, and then people buy into it, mass media, mass people, intelligent people buy into it. I don't know if it's a money-making thing. I don't know, if it's from MZ. Is it it's good marketing?
No, listen, I've known about Alex Jones for a dozen years, and I've had him on the Saturday special two or three times, in the last 10 years. And great guest. You agree? I mean, I don't know if you heard any of those Saturday specials.
I did, John. I called him. I spoke to him.
Oh, okay. Great. And I knew that he had this program and his own show. But and I knew that it was sort of way out there and sort of whacked out and sort of just a little of it goes a long way. But in light of what happened, that no one would have been able to predict, the financial meltdown of 08, And everything that remember I was talking about Mr. Listener's class in
mm-hmm,
high school?
Mm-hmm.
One of the people that Mr. Listener exposed us to back then in the late 60s mm-hmm. is Dr. Stan Monteith. And Dr. Stan Monteith has been preaching everything that Alex, who's young enough to be Dr. Stan's grandson. Alex is only 36 years old, and Dr. Stan is in his 80s now. But we used to think Dr. Stan was a nutcase back when we were high school kids. But everything that he has predicted and said is coming true now. And that's
Indeed.
Why. That's why. Listen to me, John.
Look at the statement you just made. Everything he said. That's not true, MZ. And you just made. And that's where credibility. That's where you got to guard with your words you choose. You can't say everything. That man is kooky. And you can't say, Without exception, everything he says.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the correction.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the
mm-hmm.
correction.
I
appreciate that.
Let's just stay on the level of
much of what he says.
Want a variety of opinions.
Yes.
Your goal here at the station, and we're talking about two decades of serving the community, your goal from the very start has been to put opinions on of even those that sicken you, even those that you might not agree with. You want to get those opinions out there, and you want to create a venue.
Or even those that I think are wacky.
Well, even if they're wacky.
Yeah.
But I think what John is trying to say is don't join the wackos.
Hey,
John, here's a question. Do you think I've joined the wackos by giving the wacko, the quote wackos, a voice on the station by carrying their syndicated program? Do you think
I'm not one to. I mean, I think he has every right to be on the radio. You have every right to play him. This is what scares me. And if I can kind of just spell this out, I'm not saying he's a Nazi. I'm not saying anything. I'm just using a comparison. Nazi Germany, way back in the day, the fascist Nazi movement, they were able to get brilliant men, some of the leading philosophers at that time in that era, intelligent men, eventually came around and bought into the propaganda. And it was, it was crazy. It was all fabricated. It was crazy. But these brilliant men, one of the greatest, I can't think of his name right now, but one of the greatest philosophers of all times, recognized to this day as one of the greatest, he's a German philosopher. subscribed, eventually subscribed to the Nazi doctrine. And what scares me, and again, I'm not calling Alex or any of them.
Oh, no.
So many people are buying into his, you know, like Carl Sagan said, sensational claims require sensational proof. And if you don't have proof to back it up, don't even bring it to the table if you don't have credibility. I can come up and say 50 million things about 50 different things and draw all kinds of crazy connections.
Do you listen to Alex?
Man, I listen to him. I try to listen to him. I can't take more than 15-minute intervals at a time.
Okay.
Because my credibility radar goes off. When I hear the guy, you know what he does, too, in my opinion? This is pure conjecture. But, you know, he fixates and he rages about, you know, cops on steroids and this, that. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on steroids. The way he talks and the way he rages. You know, he always talks about that all the time.
Right.
Well, it's a good point. What's he taking to get himself all lamped up?
John has sort of segued into KSCO present, hasn't he?
He has, and, you know, that was our next topic, which is where do you think the radio station is going? I mean, is it headed in the direction of putting extremists on, or
I'll predict the future for Alex. I say, and I warn MZ, but I just give you caution. That guy is going to die on the vine. He's going to be a splash in the pan, and I hope this is true. And I don't mean anything negative to hurt the guy,
but
I hope his message gets exposed. Like, fast forward five years, people recognize him for what he is. And, you know, he's just a ranting, raving lunatic who comes up with all these far-fetched theories, and his credibility has shrunk into a nil. Nothing.
Boy, Kay's credibility must have shrunk into a nil, too, because she thinks he's a patriot. Big time. A lot of people should really need to listen to.
You know, Kaylos, and you know, I still admire a lot of what Kay has to say, and I like her candor, but she did lose major points. She bought into she drank the Kool-Aid. You know, I mean, just like everyone else has.
All right.
What is the independent critical thought?
Okay.
You know.
All right. I appreciate it, John.
Hey, congratulations on the 20 years.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Okay, that was John and Selena. Should we go to Michael in Live Oak, or do you have a question to ask? Oh, what? What are they doing? Ma, the mic is on. You want to say something? Huh? Okay, here. Michael in Live Oak, you're next.
Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, I think, Rebecca, you are a first class, as close to perfect talk show personality as I've ever heard. You listen to people. You're articulate. You're thought-provoking. It's wonderful. I hope that you're going to be on a lot more than you are at this point.
You can't see me, but I'm blushing.
Yeah, I spoke with you on...
I really am.
I spoke with you on... I shouldn't say the call letters, but that other radio station on January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful. It reminds me of the old Dick Cavett program. Do you remember Dick Cavett?
I do. I'm old enough, and I used to love listening to his interviews. Weren't they great?
Yeah, my favorite was the one with Governor Lester Maddox. You ought to be proud to be an American.
Oh, I know.
Remember that?
I know. You know, he was a soft touch, but he got people to actually talk. And it's my big complaint about talk radio. It's talking and talking and talking. And nobody is listening.
Why do you think they call
listening?
It talk radio?
Well, I know,
it's
but
not
you...
called listen radio. It's called talk radio.
I know. And I'm always surprised at the number of people that don't call in with actual questions to pin people down as to what they really mean.
Let's you and I pioneer listen radio then.
I like listen radio, and it's one of the reasons.
But we don't want it to be too NPR-ish.
Well, no, of course not. NPR is sometimes boring, and I think that there's room for NPR-level content and integrity, but without being boring. Why not?
And without being humorless.
Without being humorless.
Michael, I had one more thing to say.
Yeah, Michael.
Have you heard of Peter B. Collins?
Yes.
I just heard him.
I have no use for the man at all. You want me to tell you why?
Yes, tell us why.
Okay. He's a person who is so in love with himself that and doesn't think that rules apply to him. Okay, you might think this is a very foolish way to dismiss a person. The FCC had a number of public information, public meetings, you know, to find out about how local stations can have more diversity and localism and so forth, which I think is a great thing. And I drove up to Oakland to one of those meetings, mm-hmm. and I was listening to it on KPFA on the way up, and I think we picked it up too. I think we carried it here on KSCO, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I don't know. I know we carried one of those things. Peter B. Collins got up and made a speech, and everybody was limited to, I think, 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter just went on and on and on and on and on, and they kept gaveling him down. And he kept talking. What an arrogant SOB! Anyhow, I think the guy is a turd. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I just heard him for the first time on KGO, filling in for the
radio. Oh my God! That station continues to go down the toilet. It's such a sad thing. Mm. Such a sad thing.
I have to say, he did strike me as being very open-minded, or at least willing to listen to people. He's not ranting and raving and belittling people, and so that was my impression.
It seems these days, if you don't rant and rave, you don't get ratings, and you can't stay on the air. And you know
but
what?
But he's saying Michael is saying that Peter didn't. So that's
He didn't, and you know what? I think that people want to listen to intelligent, logical interviews and arguments and information. I really do. I think we're moving out of this rageaholic phase, and I think that talk show hosts are gonna quickly adapt. As soon as they see good ratings for a good quality, well thought out program with integrity, they're going to switch gears. That's what they always do.
I think people are tired of the same old.
Yeah.
They are. They're tired of it. They don't want to go from one station to another and listening to people rage.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my sentence. I look forward to meeting you both in about a half hour.
Oh, great. Oh,
terrific.
Thanks.
Come on down.
Yeah, you're in Live Oak, so you can probably walk down. So.
I'll take my bicycle.
Great. Okay, Rory in Watsonville, welcome to the Saturday special with Rebecca and MZ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Sure. Yeah, you're fine.
We can.
Hey, good deal. I'm on a headset on the cell phone. But anyway, that earlier caller that was talking about Alex Jones, He's right to a degree, because Alex does make some leaps in logic, and I've caught him on some non sequiturs, and that's what he's chosen to do. But on the other hand, he brings attention to a lot of things that need to have attention brought to, and I would say even just you pick one thing like fluoridating the water. Yeah, I've known about that for years, and it's criminal what they're doing, and light has to be shown on that. And to the degree that he offends people, but a certain amount of people are made aware of a problem, that's okay. That's important, and that's what free speech is all about in this country. And free speech is just that. It's free. So somebody could choose to be, raging in somebody's opinion, but that's their freedom.
But do you worry at all that people can be so inflammatory that they could turn off a lot of people that might be willing to consider the data? Do you worry at all?
I'm not worried about it, because that's their right, and if they lose market because of that, so be it. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it. But at the same time, I guess what I'm concerned about in this country,
mm-hmm.
too many people are asleep. We've become victims of our own success. We've got a plentiful food supply, relative calm. I mean, we don't have war going on within our borders. And people have just kind of sloughed off life's responsibilities and they've fallen asleep. They're like fat, apathetic, sloths in general. I'm making a general statement.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, I'm a sociobiologist, and one of the things that always concerns me is that the human body is actually hardwired to respond to near-term danger. So if you encounter a snake, your body's filled with chemicals and you are immediately are ready to attack or run, right, fight or flight. But when you talk to somebody about global warming or even fluorinated water, it's interesting that our heartbeats don't even go up one extra beat an hour. We don't get any chemistry. So we don't, in general, want to respond to long-term danger. And we're just simply haven't evolved any chemistry to do that.
Yeah, and you bring up another situation that there's a giant ruse that's been put over on the West, not just here, but in Europe.
I don't have control of the phones anymore. You have the control of the phones?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yeah. We can hear you.
What happened? Why don't I have control of the phones? I don't get it.
It's all good.
All right.
I'll tell you in a minute.
All right.
They're taking over, Michael.
Jeez, I'm getting all paranoid.
But the last thing I was going to say is that there's another example. The whole man-made global warming phenomena. just like no empirical evidence. You ask any meteorologist, can you predict the weather past 5 days? And they'll say no.
Past 5 days? I'd be happy if we were accurate within a day. So I could remember to bring my jacket.
I'll give you an example. Our meteorologist that we work with is saying rain's coming back next week, and there's three storms out to the end of the month. And it's going to get really cold by the end of February. There could be snow on the Salinas Valley floor at the end of the month.
Now, right.
That being said, he'll tell you past 5 days a flip of the coin. And if that's the case, why are we making policy decisions based on a few predictions by a few people out 20, 30, 50, 100 years? Not even taking into account the science of what the validity of the science. But they're making these wild predictions out 10, 20, 50, 100 years. And we're supposed to change our use of a plentiful energy supply because it happens to be carbon-based.
Well, I actually talk about this in my book when I look at older civilizations, that as problems become highly complex, we make a shift from fact-based public policy to belief-based public policy. And I'd really like to get a book to you. So if you'll go to my website at www.RebeccaCosta.com and just register on there and remind me that we had this conversation, I'd like to get a book to you. My book's called The Watchman's Rattle, and this is not unusual. This happened to the Mayans, the Romans, the Khmer Empire, where eventually the facts became so contradictory and so difficult to grasp that they began shifting toward beliefs. And in the Mayans' case, instead of continuing to build reservoirs and underground cisterns, they shifted completely to fetishism and sacrifice. And first they started out with sacrificing enslaved peoples, and then they moved on to their own people and newborn infants when the drought was its worst, because they were pursuing belief-based public policy to solve their drought problems that they knew about for over 3,000 years. So this is not a turn that ancient civilizations didn't make as well, and it's very well documented in the book, and I hope you'll let me give you a copy of it, because I think it would answer your questions.
Okay, well, I will do that, Rebecca.
Are you coming down, Rory? Or are you coming to our party?
You know, I want to come. It's from noon to 3.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm working. That's the only problem. You're going to have more events, though, Michael, right?
Well, that's theoretically, but, you know, the only days for sure is today.
Michael, I think we should talk to his boss. I think people that can't get off of work,
Rory,
we should talk
Rory
to their,
is his boss, and
boss.
So there's no excuse for him not coming here. Okay, Rory, thank you. Hope to see you.
Sunday afternoon's better, but the Secretary of War and Finance is my boss today.
Okay.
All right, you take care. Lee and Salinas, you're on KSCO with Rebecca and MZ.
Dear Michael, I hope that you're able to get back focused on your birthday.
Yeah, that's
I believe
that's
that John has taken some of your thunder, and the lady that's sitting beside you needs to get back focused on this birthday. I
agree.
I'm just upset because I've not seen Alex say anything that does not stand firm. But this country
and
is
now you're
hell.
Not, and now you're going away
well,
from
I
the
have
birthday.
To, I just have to so. Say that I'm he. You allowed that guy to bring this junk that he is not showing anything about. I mean, I've been listening to Alex and Rush, and I got to say,
Well, let's talk about me and KSCO.
That's right.
I'm
well,
starting
I'm
to feel
to you,
sad and left out.
I'm just saying that let's stay focused on your birthday.
So let's do it. And
well,
that's
amen.
What you say, and then you and then
well,
you defocus
I just,
again.
I had to say something about this guy because I'm in the same town as he is. So
tick,
thank
tick,
you.
Tick.
How about this? Happy birthday to you.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday. To you.
Nikki says we have to take a break. Is that it, Lee?
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll come back with others.
If electricity flows through it, You can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Do you realize what an achievement it is for a locally owned and operated independent radio station to survive, let alone put out popular, worthwhile, original content in this world of crushingly big government and corporate media? Well, KSCO AM 1080, your favorite radio station, has a lot to celebrate, and we will be doing it all year long starting this Saturday. Come join us for our 20th anniversary party at KSCO Studios, 2300 Portola Drive, Santa Cruz, from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Tour the station, enjoy refreshments, and meet the staff and personalities, including Kay, who will be signing her long-awaited book of her best commentaries. Buy yours now online at KSCO.com and bring your receipt to pick up the book at KSCO any weekday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., or just buy it at the station. But if you come to our great party this Saturday, Kay will personally sign your copy of her book. Plan to be with us this Saturday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. at KSCO Studio to celebrate 20 wonderful years of independent local radio from AM 1080 KSCO.
Take the Palace Challenge this Valentine's Day and get creative. Hello, Charlie Friedman here on behalf of Palace Art and Office Supply in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Take the Palace Challenge for this Valentine's Day and create your own Valentine's greeting for your someone special. Oh, come on, don't be such a fuddy-duddy. Nothing you can buy for him or her will be as special as what you make from the heart. Break out of your comfort zone, get off the lazy boy, and head to Palace Art and Office Supply in Santa Cruz or Capitola for a from-the-heart adventure. Palace has cards and markers, papers and glues, glitters and doilies. Palace probably has 20,000 different things you can use to make the most unique and special Valentine's greeting ever. I guarantee, no matter what kind of Valentine's greeting you make, it will make an impression that will be remembered always. But if you're too timid, don't worry, because Palace also has a huge selection of ready-made Valentine's greetings, and one of them will say what you want to say. Go on, take the Palace Challenge and make your Valentine smile. Palace Art and Office Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and off 41st Avenue in Capitola. A proud member of Think Local First, County of Santa Cruz.
Here's how to make your Valentine's Day extra special. Take your loved one out to dinner at the famed Casablanca restaurant on Beach Street in Santa Cruz. In addition to views of the sparkling waters of Monterey Bay, your loved one will enjoy selections from Casablanca's award-winning wine list, full bar, and entrees from its three-course prefix menu.
Grilled filet mignon with forest mushroom demi-glaze. Grilled New York steak with bourbon peppercorn demi-glaze. Artichoke mascarpone raviolis with brown butter and sage. And don't forget to save room for Casablanca's famous chocolate walnut pie.
Take your loved one out to eat at the famed Casablanca restaurant. Your Valentine won't forget this special dinner. Call now for reservations, 426-9063, 426-9063. That's the Casablanca restaurant, 426-9063.
Gift certificates now available for Casablanca Inn and Restaurant.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie.
And I'm Dave Christie. From blown fuses to power outages to remodels, Direct Electric will fix your electrical problems. And Direct Electric will do it right the first time, at the right price, with no service charge. Listen.
My name is Tom Wetzel. I live in Aptos, and we've worked with Direct Electric. They came and assisted us putting in a new hot tub. They were very professional and very timely and did great work at a great price. It was kind of a tricky job. It was at an elevated part of the property away from the main house, and it was kind of difficult to get the wiring up there. They did a fantastic job for us.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric.
If you are in real trouble, ask for Direct Electric 60-minute emergency service. Direct Electric, that's the name. Service and quality, that's what's in the name. Direct Electric, 425-1407, 425-1407.
Hi, this is Mike Jacoby from Raising the Standards here at KSCO. Although this week I'll be watching the birdies at the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am. Keep it right here. I'll tell you who's hot, who's not, and who's that guy that picked up the two-foot gimme. Oh, that's just not right. All week here on KSCO.
I think we've got Kurt from Scotts Valley on.
We sure do.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's next. Go ahead, Kurt. You're on.
Hey, happy birthday, Michael.
And, thank you.
I want to just say I think KSCO is more relevant than ever. And I got to also say we just started a radio show on KSCO on Tuesday nights.
Oh, yeah. The
Real Estate 911.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to kind of go into what everybody's saying, but here's what. And I don't think you guys talked about, but there's like a financial implosion that's affecting everybody. Homeowners, lots of them are losing their homes. Nobody's getting help. And I think everybody is tired of the Democrat-Republican talking points. And I think KSCO, everybody's kind of saying the same thing, is the system's not working. And I do believe people are waking up to your host, what's your name again? I'm sorry.
It's Rebecca Angela? Costa.
Okay, mm-hmm. Rebecca, talking about, you know, the biological thing, fight or flight or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. When people are losing their homes and realize government's not helping them, they're freaked out.
Of course, but the danger has to be close to us for us to biologically react. We're not geared from a biological standpoint to react to danger that's far off. We just,
right.
From an evolutionary standpoint, now it'll happen later to us. I mean, we'll evolve to have those capabilities, but we just don't have them now. And in that way, evolution is sort of working against us.
Well, I think from what I see from everybody, it's happening. People are waking up. I mean, it's with the state budget, $25 billion in the hole. It's affecting everybody. And,
yeah, it's a dangerous time. People are worried.
Absolutely.
They're afraid and they're worried, and they have cause to be. This is not irrational
absolutely.
Worry.
Absolutely.
This is fact-based worry, and they
absolutely.
Don't see things getting better either.
That's right. And see, that's the underpinning of everything, and that's what's, you know, I listen to Alex Jones, too, and when you start where the financial gods that we've come to believe in, Alan Greenspan, Ben Bernanke, our financial system, when it's shown to be completely false, then that just opens the doors to what is the new normal going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I believe KSCO is so relevant, because you can hear that talking from people on the left, like Brad Cover or something like that. It's all heartfelt, sincere concern, and it's on the right, too. And I think KSCO better shows that people are talking almost about the same thing. And I think it blows KGO out of the water, because it's still fighting that battle with the Democrat-Republican, and everybody knows that it's not about that anymore.
That your goal, Michael? I mean, you know, we're going back to sort of the past, the present, and the future
of the
station. And so what is the future of the station? Is it to continue to create a venue, an open forum for whether it's an extremist like a Rush Limbaugh on the right, you want extremists on the left, you really want to be neutral.
I want everything.
Right?
I want everything.
You want all opinions out on the table.
Finally, a voice for everyone, which mm-hmm. is something which
and
is,
I think
which
that's
is a,
happening right now.
A slogan that we came up with 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple slogans we used back then. Finally, a voice for everyone. And We used the other one, if you like KGO, you'll love KSCO.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're going to use that one anymore, but the voice for everyone, it still applies. And I see pharmacist Ben Fuchs staring at me, and he's naked, Or at least he's, well, yeah. Are you there, Ben? I mean, I've got you potted up here. I mean, I see the video for the first time. Yeah.
Hello, Ben.
Yeah.
Can he hear us?
Apparently he can, because when I said I see him and he's naked, at least from the chest up. Yeah, I've never seen anybody. It's so weird to see somebody looking at us on the video. I guess we're not connected here, because I've got the Skype and the ISDN potted up, mm-hmm. and I'm not hearing you if I'm supposed to. So if you want us to hear you, you should get on your phone and call 479-1080. Oh, he disappeared. He ended the call. Now, you could stay on so we can continue to see you, Ben, but we won't be able to hear you.
I think you've got another caller there that might be calling in with questions or memories about KSCO.
Kurt, I didn't mean to cut you off, but did you finish up?
No, I just said I'm so happy I am about being on KSCO. I think KSCO is a great venue.
Are you coming down? Are you coming down a little bit?
Yeah, we're going to come down around 1, but I just want to say I think your station's doing fantastic, and I think it's the most forward-looking radio station out there. And that's why so many people are listening to it. So I think you've done a great job.
Now listen, Michael Harrison, the publisher of Talkers Magazine, which is the Bible of the talk radio industry, has asked me to take lots and lots and lots of pictures today for our event and to send them to him so that he could put some of them in the publication that'll go out to everywhere. Okay, so Kirk, look forward to seeing you here. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Sarah in Santa Cruz, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. I went to Santa Cruz High, too. I was wondering what year you graduated.
The year of our Lord, 1968.
So are you from West Side?
Yeah.
Did you grow up on the West Side?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I like your show. It's because I actually believe you. Sometimes some things say that, you know, we're fair and balanced. It's like you don't have to say that if it's true. It's like, I'm not going to harm you. Well, you don't say that with...
Yeah.
Isn't that the case? Yeah.
There used to be a company, a real estate company. At Century 21, we're professional. You know, and I used to say, if you're really professional, you don't need to say it.
Right.
And people will just know it. So that's what you're saying about KSCO. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you why.
Not that we're professional, but that we're real.
I think we are professional.
Nah, mm-hmm. You're professional.
Mm-mm. I think we're okay. Professional and authentic, and that's a good combination.
Well, I wanted to ask Rebecca, do you think that talk radio sometimes is a tough venue because people are so nervous when they call in? Like sometimes I'll be on a subject, I want to call in, and I have my kind of thought, I don't want to sound stupid, I have them, and they don't relate to the last caller. And then I'll find that the caller after me, they're not relating to each other at all. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like that in chat rooms. I'm always 5 questions behind because I'm not the mm-hmm. quickest typist. And so, you know, the chat format, it really doesn't work for me. I do think it's difficult sometimes for moderates or people that are not braggasauruses or don't have real, you know, big egos to call into a talk show and know that, you know, millions of people are listening to you. Frankly... it's a certain kind of personality that can call in and do that. And so therefore, I think there are many, many more male callers than there are female callers. Am I allowed to say that?
You're allowed to say.
The listeners will disregard that.
I'm sorry. I really think there are. And as a matter of fact, you know, something I've noticed recently is that there are very few women talk show hosts, and the ones that are on the air, and I'm really sorry to say this, I can't stand to listen to. They rage, they're shrill, they're mean-spirited, and I don't like listening to women talk show hosts. And I know I'm going to take a lot of heat for that. But, you know, when you call up to give me heat about it, you better be able to name a woman talk show host that you can stand to listen to, and that's on the air and on television. I mean, the women that have the highest ratings today are very shrill and very mean-spirited. And
it's kind of like a reality TV where difference between reading People magazine and New Yorker. I mean, there's just no difference there. I mean, when you hear somebody intelligent that knows their homework compared to somebody who's ranting and just has opinions and beliefs that they've been ranting for continuously for the last 10 years, and they've never taken in, you know, the idea of taking in new information and exchanging thoughts and ideas is completely novel to a lot of people.
It is, and I can't tell you how rare it is that you hear a talk show host say, you know, I got some new information, and I reversed my position on that. I was wrong.
And that is, people accept that as a sign of maturity. Mm-hmm. But I do appreciate this radio station. I am coming to the party. I love of the characters. I'm bringing my camera, and I'm not this kind of person, but I don't watch TV. I got rid of my TV when George W. got reelected, and I don't read the newspaper, nothing, but I listen to KSDO. I love what's left, but I also like, you know, I remember when I was young and I got upset about Rush Limbaugh. My dad was a politician. He'd say, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
Don't get so worked up.
Speaking of what's left, Sarah, guess who just walked in the door?
Oh, my boyfriend, Tom?
Who?
Tom Dunnigan?
Who? Who? Who did he say? Who did you say?
Paul.
Paul who?
Oh, my God.
No, Mark Silverman, because Mark Silverman is one of the ones.
You know what? I love Mark Silverman.
You'll get to meet Mark Silverman in person.
Come on down. Mark Silverman's here, and all your favorite talk show hosts on KSCO are here today.
Well,
I can't believe that you guys are having an anniversary, because I was going to stalk stalking Corey, and then I was going to follow it up with Dave Michaels, and then Mike Silverman, and they're all going to be there for me with my camera, and I'm going to get their license plates and just... take them around. Thank you.
Okay, now you're scaring us.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sarah. Look forward to meeting you. Be sure to announce yourself when you get here. We have 2,000 Kay's books.
Yes, we do, and she's signing today, which is wonderful.
I want to set a goal of selling out. Mm-hmm. Today. Mm-hmm. I want to do that.
Am I allowed to say this?
Yes, you are.
You and Kay have such a special and unique and amazing relationship. It was one of the questions I was going to ask you, is why you brought your mother on the radio station. She makes
She's brilliant, and she's worth sharing with the world.
She is, but I want to share something with the listeners that they won't know, and for those who won't be able to come down today, because I was really touched by this. This morning, you went to a florist, and you bought your mother a corsage for her to wear on her first day of book signing. Now, if you're a mother out there, you know what it would mean to you if your son went and bought a corsage for you to wear on your first book signing. And I was so touched by that. I thought that was very precious. Very precious. I do, and people just don't know that side of you. And part of my gig here today to interview you is for people to get to know the man behind the voice, and also the man who runs the station and who grew up in Santa Cruz. And that's what we're celebrating today. The party is 2 decades of community service and the past and present and future KSCO. So I just think that if there are callers out there and want to call in with questions or memories you have of the radio station, memories you have of Michael Zwirling, call in to 479-1080. That's 479-1080.
Yeah, and there's only 7 minutes left.
Seven minutes to call now.
Yeah. And it sounds like Ben Fuchs heard me because he reacted. Are you there, Ben?
Is Ben on?
Hey, I don't know if you can hear me. I got a new computer and I'm trying to set it up here.
Okay, good. We got you coming in here, Ben. Are you on Skype or what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You're not.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, because you're outputting through the computer, so I'm hearing. But you can hear me. You can hear me. Okay.
Well, not okay, but we can hear you.
Okay. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Ben.
I didn't know you were going to be on. I would have been listening. I love your book. Absolutely love your book.
Thank you, sir.
And I don't know if Michael told you, but I've been applying some of your concepts for many years to skincare. Believe it or not, did Michael tell you this?
No, he didn't.
I was about to.
Oh, don't you believe it, Ben.
Ben, call on the damn telephone, okay?
For you some know, reason, you're cutting out, Ben. It's really bizarre.
You know the phone.
831-479-1080.
Okay. Yeah, and then we can hear what Ben...
479-1080, if you have a question or you have a memory about KSCO during the last 2 decades.
Yeah, so much for technology.
So, you know, I've been asking you this question about where you see the radio station going.
I see us catching on. I think we finally got our stride. It took about, 19 years or so. I think people are finally discovering us, and it doesn't matter really what happens to, AM radio or broadcasting, as a distribution medium. As long as we're content central.
That's right. As okay. long as you're producing high-level yeah. content. Earlier caller was right. You got to have integrity. You cannot get on the radio and just say anything we want to say because there's a responsibility.
That is something that is the most important word in my vocabulary. Is that you, Ben, calling?
No, this is James. Feedback.
Oh, it's somebody else? Mike Chico. Okay, hold on, Mike. Hold on. Okay, is this Ben calling? Hello, Ben? Is this Ben calling? Are you Ben? Are you Ben? Oh, I guess he's not Ben. Maybe this is Ben. Ben, is that you? Okay, here's Ben. I'll lock Ben in. Go ahead,
hey,
Ben.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Rebecca.
Oh, much better. We can hear you now.
Oh, good. I got a new Mac, and I was all excited to use it, but I guess I'm not going to be using it.
We like seeing the pictures of you.
Send the Mac back.
I didn't mean for you to see those pictures.
Very cute. I didn't know you were going to call in shirtless.
I didn't know that you were going to see me shirtless. I'm glad I had everything else on, though. I'm glad that's like soft. Anyway, The Watchman's Rattle is a wonderful, wonderful book. I appreciate it very much. And the whole concept of using insight, of using a transcendent way of applying this incredible human mind of ours is really apropos. It's apropos politically. It's apropos sociologically. And as I was telling you before, I've been using it in skincare, believe it or not.
So how have you been using it?
Well, as you know, when systems reach a certain point, they rearrange themselves. They become more complex. This is complexity theory, and it's true about any system. It's true about biological systems as much as it's true about a political or a sociological or any other system. And it's true about your body. You know, we use that's how exercise works. When we lift weights, for example, we put certain amount of stress into muscle tissue, the muscle fibers, and as soon as they can't take any more, they rearrange and they become more complex. They become strong. We perceive that as strength and as hypertrophy, but the same thing happens with all tissue, and it happens with the skin. And if you want to have healthy, beautiful skin, one of the most important things you could do is reach a certain point where the skin will become more complex, and that requires inputting energy into the system called the skin. And there's strategies that you can apply. There's topical strategies that you can apply. There's product strategies that you can apply to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So you get into this on your Bright Side program a little bit, right, Ben?
We touch on it. It's a little bit. It's somewhat abstract for mainstream radio. Not that you're mainstream radio, or not that your listeners are mainstream listeners. But yeah, we do touch on the idea that stress is your friend. That putting energy into a system is something that you want to look to do.
Right.
Whatever that system is, you don't want to run away from putting energy into the system. You don't want to run away from stressors.
Right. Well, listen, Ben, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate
it. Nice to meet you on the phone, Rebecca.
Nice to meet you. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, and here comes James in Seaside. James,
hi, James.
You're on the air. Hi, James.
Hey, Michael. Congratulations and happy anniversary to them.
Are you coming today? I'm going to be sad if you don't.
I'm going to really try, and I got to get permission from the big boss.
Bring the big boss.
Bring the boss with you. There's plenty of food. There's a lot of entertainment.
And it's food by Smokes, which means it's the best food in the county. It's really good.
All right, I'm going to try my best to be there, Mike, because I like to see what everybody
And Kay would love to meet you, too.
I would love to meet her, too, Mike. I certainly would, because I have a lot of respect. I need to get a copy of the book and everything. So we'll try to see you.
Okay,
and
good.
Again, happy anniversary to that young girl.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. Here's Pure Heart. Hi, Pure Heart.
Hello, Michael. I'll make it quick. Newspapers are good because you stumble across things you're not looking for. And typically on the Internet, you're going after something directly.
Right.
KSCO is good because it allows the callers to actually develop a theme and talk a little bit rather than just a few seconds soundbite before moving to the next one. And it also appeals to the intellect, as in Mr. Logic's thinking machine, which you should bring back.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. I'll get off to the next caller.
We'll be back. You're the last caller. And we're so honored because you've been a special friend of the radio station for many years, and thank you for all your support.
Okay, and as far as things like the global warming thing, Dr. Stan can call up facts at the tip of his mind. I cannot. If he can recall the meeting they had in Rome about what can be used to control people. Should we use space aliens or or threat of climate change. There's a bunch of people at a meeting to think about something like this to kind of bring up a threat to make people be controlled.
Okay.
He can actually do that. I can't.
Well, he's great.
He's a good guy.
Thank you very much for calling. Here, we're gonna go into the news a little bit here. Rich in Pacific Grove, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, happy birthday. I'm on my way. But you know what I wanted to say is, you know, Alex Jones, I like a lot what he says, but then he does say things that you just say, where is this guy coming from? So you know what? I suggest maybe we have a little 1 week we just do a fact check on a guy. You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what if we find some not factual material about? I mean some. You know what I'm trying to say? Then
no,
what
I
should we do?
I understand.
Should we stop
understand.
Carrying Alex Jones if that happens?
Well, I think we should hold him accountable.
Okay.
You know, it's like when Obama says
we will hold his feet to the fire and fry them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would be a wonderful thing. That's a fair thing. That's
okay.
Fair journalism.
Who
you said it? Now prove it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rich. Now you get your butt over here, okay?
I'm on my way.
That goes for all of you who's listening. This is a potty. It's the first potty we've ever had that we've invited everybody, and we're going to feed you to your stuffed. Okay.
We have a hang up. You know, I want to thank you today.
I want to thank you.
For letting me interview you and for sharing this moment with me. 2 decades of community service, community radio, one of the largest independent stations in California and right here in Santa Cruz County. I think it's just a fabulous, momentous occasion, and I hope a lot of people will come down and see the station and celebrate with you.
We'll be here for the next 3 hours with the festivities.
And pick up Kay's Werling's book.
And pick up Kay's books, and she will be here to greet you and sign your book for you. So that's it. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight. And sometime soon on demand at KSCO.com. Thanks, Rebecca. Appreciate
congratulations.
So
that's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's Fox News in progress.
A move that caught Hamas by surprise. It immediately said it won't participate. Iraq, still a dangerous place. North of Baghdad, a suicide bomber blowing himself up on a bus carrying Shiite pilgrims. 26 dead. This is Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Nikki James for KSCO Santa Cruz. And we've got Michael Jacoby here in a live report from the AT&T Pro-Am. And it is brought to you by Lexus of Stephen Creek. As Northern California's number one volume Lexus dealer, Lexus of Stevens Creek carries a huge selection of new and pre-owned Lexus models. Drop by and slide into the driver's seat of a Lexus today at 3333 Stevens Creek Boulevard, San Jose. And here we've got Mike Jacoby. Hey, Mike, you there?
Yes, I am. How are
Sweet.
You?
Sweet. Good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm well, and I know when I said this morning that Steve Marino was going to run away and hide, it was going to be the kiss of death for him. But opening the day at 1,300 with a four-stroke lead, the lead has been cut to 2 strokes. Marino playing the back nine of Monterey Peninsula is at minus 12, still with the lead. DA Points, who is partnering with Bill Murray, has now, well, this just in, an eagle, and now is tied for the lead at minus 12. Alex Chetka is at 9 under, and looking at the leaderboard right now, and a few at 8, Bradley and Watney as well. So still plenty of time to get out here. We're having really made the turn, and the celebrities are just finished 6th. At Pebble Beach, so time to get down here and see an awful lot of great golf. I want to take a minute to congratulate Kay on her new book, and also very proud to be part of the 20-year tradition at KSCO. Congratulations to the staff and to Michael and Kay. From the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am, for KSCO, I'm Mike Jacoby.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I am Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Sunny skies, high of 69 with light winds. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, low of 39 and light winds. Sunday, we're going to have sunny skies, high of 65. The southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds will be 10 knots, becoming west this afternoon. The wind waves less than 2 feet. A west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 12 seconds. And tonight, west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 3 to 5 feet at 14 seconds. And Sunday, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 4 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, got a few things to report here. It looks like we had a traffic collision at 11:15. This is Hopkins Gulch Road at Bear Creek Road in Santa Cruz. CHP is on the scene there, and the vehicle's on its side leaning against a tree, it looks like. So got another traffic collision. CHP is on the scene. This happened at 11:20 Fairview Road at Hillcrest Road. This is Hollister-Gilroy area. Traffic collision with an ambulance responding at 11:37. This is southbound US 101 just south of White Road. And another traffic collision at 11:44 and with an ambulance responding. This is Bird Rock Road.